Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
John Cobell and Ken Champeau live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 until 4 now. After 4 o'clock, you can hear us on the iHeartRadio app, our podcast, John and Ken on Demand.
We're always there. That's, I mean, the shows just go on infinitum.
You could hear us continuously. You could play old shows.
I know.
We should be the background noise in everyone's home.
Constantly. The hum of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought of you this morning. Oh, too bad the vegan's not here. The headline was, half of America's kids on a daily basis do not have any fruit or vegetables.
Right.
I was a little surprised because I thought some parents try to sneak it in. But
well,
half
they serve it.
But yeah. Probably not eaten.
I don't think I ever ate a single vegetable served to me off my mother's dinner plates. Not once. Well, I guess once to know that I hated it. When I was
left
six.
It there, or you hid it somewhere, or you?
I left it there for the most part. I remember one time I had to go to the hospital. I'd gotten sick, some gastrointestinal thing, and they served me carrots every day, and I kept sliding the carrots under the hospital bed.
Carrots, I mean, they were cooked carrots.
Cooked carrots.
Oh,
yeah.
Cooked carrots, not
yeah. So you know,
not good. I have a hierarchy of, by the way, of vegetables and fruits too. If you wanted to know,
you have a lot of hierarchies. You rate everything, don't you?
And cooking versus raw, there's a big difference. Your carrots, you can't have cooked.
Yeah, like steamed carrots, which may be the single worst.
Oh,
tasting
they get
food.
All soggy and goopy, and the flavor gets really foul. Raw carrots, okay, but yeah, not a cooked carrots.
So I never had one.
Well, you have it in soup or certain things, but
yeah, I don't know.
Stew.
If I see anything with even a little bit of a carrot, I won't eat the whole plate. You might as well have thrown a cockroach on my plate.
Yeah,
that's how much I hate carrots.
All right, we're going to start the show today with the octogenarians. It's a tough word, isn't it, John? You got that one figured out?
I can handle that.
One of them's 80. That's old Joe, a couple of hours ago. I don't know why. 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday Eastern time, I'm going to speak to the nation about the unidentified objects in the sky.
I saw that really by accident.
Usually they do that later when people are more home or around.
It was a nothing speech.
He
didn't say anything that we already knew. There was no new information whatsoever. The only entertaining part was at the end of the speech when all the reporters started screaming at him.
Yeah, we'll have that, but first let's play you about 30 seconds of some of the gobbledygook.
We don't yet know exactly what these three objects were, but nothing right now suggests they were related to China's spy balloon program or that they were surveillance vehicles from any other country. The intelligence community's current assessment is that these three objects were most likely balloons tied to private companies, recreation or research institutions studying weather or conducting other scientific research.
All right. So that's it. These were the three objects that were shot down in quick order last weekend.
That answers
not the Chinese spy balloon.
That answers none of the main questions, though. They tracked the Chinese spy balloon all the way from China, and they let it enter American airspace. Why? Why didn't they shoot it down off the coast of Alaska immediately? That was not explained.
And I don't know. That story we saw yesterday in the Washington Post said they didn't think it was going to take an unexpected turn towards the mainland.
Yeah, to our nuclear sites.
It was supposed to go to Guam, remember? That's usually what their balloons do.
I don't believe them. Because it ended up right over one of our nuclear sites. How could the wind randomly blow a balloon all the way across the Pacific Ocean, all the way up to Alaska, and then all the way down to Montana? And whoa, look up in the sky. Hey, that's a Chinese balloon, a spy balloon over our nuclear site. Wow. Come on. You know, they're such liars. They really are a bunch of liars. They're trying to sell something that's preposterous, and they know it's preposterous. But
he only did this because they said you should. People are expecting you to say something about the flying objects.
Well, I'd rather he say nothing because it was just a babble. It was nothing. And the second thing is, how did they know there wasn't a weapon on board that balloon? They haven't explained that. I heard some talk today that what the Chinese could float over us is an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, which would wipe out our electrical system. Country would be completely shut down with a few of those. How did they know that wasn't on board? How did they know there wasn't a missile? How did they know there wasn't a little hatch that was going to unleash the next biological virus? I don't understand how, and they wouldn't explain how they knew this. But those little benign weather balloons, whatever the hell they were, that we did go through the trouble of shooting down, spending $400,000 per missile, yeah, those we blew up.
And that's only because of the fallout from not shooting down the Chinese spy balloon.
But isn't that kind of a stupid policy?
Apparently the poll showed you should have shot it down sooner. So, we're going to do that this weekend then.
But
find something and shoot it down to show people we'll do that.
One of them they shot at and they missed. Nobody explained how that happened. And they had to shoot two missiles. $400,000 a missile. It's called a Sidewinder. So that $800,000 to shoot a benign balloon and drop it into Lake Huron. In case you wonder why we have a $31 trillion deficit. But this is all the actions of stupid people.
In answer to your first question, I think China launches balloons all the time, so they don't really get too excited about it because it's just China up there again trying to, I don't know, collect information. Well, remember, we talked about that Chinese program. They're big on these balloons. They love the balloons. They like to launch them all the time to collect data.
Well, is it a problem or is it not? Because eventually they shot it down, and now they've recovered the equipment, and they're certain it is spy equipment. So why isn't spy equipment over our nuclear and military sites a problem? Somebody should explain that one. They're acting like it's not a problem. Well, it was a problem, you would think, right?
Well, it's like you said yesterday, we're so tied into them economically, they don't want to stoke an international incident by making a big deal about a balloon passing by.
Do you know what question drove Biden out of the room? Might be hard to make out on the tape, but one reporter said it's when somebody said, did the Chinese business dealings with your son have anything to do with the reaction your administration had? And I'm paraphrasing the question, but it was along those lines. And Biden responded, give me a break. And then he left.
Well, we had that audio.
Let's play that.
Thank you very much.
Sir, the question was it? There's been criticism that this
Sir, Mr. President,
there has been criticism. Mr. President, there has been criticism that this was an overreaction that was done because of political pressure.
You come to my office and ask the question when you have more polite people.
Mr. President, why have you chosen Poland for your trip to mark anniversary of the war? And what's your message?
Well, you're off topic, sir.
The Ukraine war.
Yeah. Yes, are
it's
you
an interesting dynamic. The reporters all shout at once. Some of them give up. Some of them don't. And eventually there's like two or three left still shouting their questions loudly. And Biden picked on the one that John mentioned, who was asking about the relations with China and the business dealings.
Compromised by your family.
And that's what he said, give me a break. The other guy that was closer to the microphone that we heard was asking a different question. But
yeah,
that's why Biden got a little upset. And then I think he turned to that other guy and said, you can come to my office and privately ask your question.
Well, why didn't they have an orderly press conference like they often do and go one by one and have him stand there for a half an hour or an hour? I mean, we're paying the guy. I don't want to hear he's too tired, because then he ought to resign. But he should stand there and answer all the questions. Yeah.
The exact question was, are you compromised by your family's business relations with China? And that's when Biden said, give me a break, man.
That's not an answer. That's a plea for mercy, but it's not an answer.
Well, what it is it's brushing the question aside as if it's ridiculous for you to ask.
It's not ridiculous. His family's up to their noses.
We're going to have plenty of hearings now that the Republicans own the House. So
yeah,
we're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the next 2 years. They're going to have tons of hearings over the Bidens and China and all their business dealings around the world. You can bet the people are going to hear more about that. How much coverage it gets, I don't know, because most of the media, they'll ignore it.
Well, it exists, though. Whatever corruption the Biden family was involved in with China exists, whether the media covers it or not. Stuff has been going on for a long time, and Jim and Hunter and Joe have made a lot of money dealing with China.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, the other octogenarian, yeah, even older than Biden. That's another good Dianne Feinstein story, the week where apparently we believe she's not running for re-election, although she seemed confused about the release of that announcement. Your chance for money is next. The keyword will be revealed in a few minutes. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. A quick reminder that the Moist line is coming back tomorrow, so there's still time for you to leave a message for this week's playback of listener comments. Use the iHeartRadio app. There's a microphone icon. You can leave a message directly that way, or dial up the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Today, by the way, was old Joe's physical. His annual physical was this morning.
Oof.
Not the one where they look at his mental state.
Yeah.
It's just the one where you check your heart and your lungs and all that kind of stuff.
The mental state. That's what the world wants to know.
That would be nice to know. Right.
Yeah. That Montreal test, the Montreal cognitive test.
Yeah.
It takes just a few minutes, and you get a good reading on how much decay is in your brain.
Trump had a doctor. He was a physician to Obama, too, this Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who once said after taking a physical of Trump in 2018, he might live to be 200 if he had a better diet.
He had a better diet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody makes fun of his diet, but he's still rolling along.
I think Trump is probably one of those people like you. He's probably never had a vegetable or a fruit.
Yeah. I think you can have a very long, healthy life without ever tasting a vegetable.
Yeah. Now we move over to the other octogenarian, who, of course, has been in the news this week, first time in a long time, Feinstein, U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, 89 years old, of course, big time in the news 2 days ago because her staff released a statement that she was not going to run for another term in the Senate next year. And then when meeting up with reporters later, she seemed to not be aware of that. Now, I was being generous in saying that she didn't know the statement went out already, that she knew there was a prepared statement and she knew she's not running, but she didn't think they released it. Still bizarre, but could be the explanation, or it could be, yeah. Whenever that statement was drafted, she forgot completely forgot that they had actually written it up, that she's not running.
Yeah, because there's video evidence that she forgets things that happened seconds before.
Right.
Because those brain cells no longer exist to store the memory.
Yes, as you get this old, short-term memory is a real issue for people. So more proof of this popped up yesterday. Businessinsider.com has a story that yesterday she emerged from the Senate chamber and was confused about what she had done during a two-vote series. She started to question her longtime chief of staff, David Granis. This guy must have some stories to tell, don't you think?
It's a long day.
Did I vote for that? He had just finished explaining to her that the six Senate votes scheduled throughout the day would be on Biden appointees. And he then shook his head and simply said no.
So she didn't vote for that.
An insider review of the floor proceedings confirmed that Feinstein did not vote on the nomination of a judge to serve on the U.S. District Court for the District of Oregon. That person was confirmed by a vote of 52 to 46.
Oh, look at that.
Feinstein voted to invoke cloture on another judge to serve on another court in Washington, D.C.
See, her vote was missing. There were 99 votes for the second judge, but only 98 votes for the first judge. So she didn't even reach the button to press yes.
Oh, that could be the case.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was Judge Nelson she didn't vote on. She voted on Judge Reyes. And the first vote was 52-46, second vote 52-47. She missed out, got confused.
Yeah. Did I vote for that? So, I mean, it must be difficult. Staffers are supposed to be constantly at the senator's sides, briefing them on everything going on during the day. And if she doesn't have short-term memory, that's pretty bad. That's what I
read about Strom Thurmond. And he was 100, and his staff was doing that.
That's like, was that Dory the Fish in Finding Nemo?
That's what it's like.
The voice by Ellen DeGeneres would not know something you said 10 seconds earlier.
So, because she shouldn't be the senator.
Well, that's the thing that's coming up now. Should she finish this term? We've still got all of the rest of this year and next year that she's still going to be in the U.S. Senate.
There is no other job that you could hold. Imagine being an airline pilot with that memory span.
Oh, but that's people's lives are at risk as you fly around the country. No, that's much worse. I mean,
but their name a
really,
job.
You like to say, what do these hack politicians do anyway, right?
Well, they don't.
And we've talked about it in the past, some older ones continuing on and their staff covered up for them.
Maybe this is the only job you could have because it's such a silly job.
Right.
You just sit and vote exactly how your party instructs you to do every day. Everybody votes the same.
Yeah.
One party votes yes, the other party votes no. So why not just get 100 monkeys in there?
See, the thing that would be key is if she does step down before her term ends, Dippity-Doo Newsom would appoint the replacement. That person would have an inside track just because that's the way it works with people. Oh, they're already a senator? Okay, I'll vote for them. I guess they know the job because they don't pay any attention.
Well, he's going to make...
So they'll see you on the ballot as a senator, whoever that is.
He's going to make a bad pick no matter what. Because he doesn't pick people based on qualifications and experience.
Well, he's already said it's going to be a black woman.
Well, that's not qualifications and experience. That's because skin color and gender.
Because this quota crowd was not happy when he replaced Kamala Harris with a Latino man, you see. Right. So like, wait a minute. That was a black female seat. What did you just do? Yeah. Latino, that's not bad, but that's not right. He's still a man. So next time, it better be a black woman.
He has,
and he said he would.
He has a male sexual organ. That's what we're going to decide who's in the Senate.
Everything now is about quotas. Everything is about diversity, representation. It's really out of control.
You know, how could you take being a senator seriously? If they're picking based on how much melanin you have in your skin and what kind of sexual part you have between
they
your legs.
They believe that males ruled the world for too long, so now they want to catch up with.
If you put two white guys in there or two black women or whoever, you'd get the same set of votes anyway. This is all nonsense. Yeah. I wish all the reverence for everything in Washington and everyone in Washington would just end before I die. Stop with the reverence for all these clowns, please. God. She's senile. Biden's senile. Everybody knows they're senile. No other job would they be allowed to show up for work, right? They'd have their security clearances should be taken away. Their key cards should be nullified. And they should be sitting in rocking chairs at the rest home. And we all know this.
There's a couple of stories we're going to do on today's show I thought were jokes. Again, parody, somebody was writing something, an early April Fool? Thanks to a listener named Lisa. When we come back, we're going to read from a column that apparently is real. Where else would it appear but the El Segundo Times? By a woman who I looked her up. She exists. Her name is Astra Lincoln.
I looked her up, too. I couldn't believe she exists.
And she can't write. She writes horribly. But the title of this piece, this essay, like they say essay. Oh, by the way, she's award-winning, John. You saw that? She's an award-winning essayist. When climate change looms, how are you supposed to fall in love? That was her Valentine's column for the El Segundo Times.
This is one of the all-time silliest columns. I know we've said this before, but really, really, this is unbelievable. In fact, we should have some kind of soppy, sobby music to play, Eric, if you could find it. Because it's
pianos, violins, you can usually dig something up.
Anything that would...
this is real, folks. When we come back, we'll read it. It's hard to believe, but apparently this woman cannot even go about a love life because the climate is in danger. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. All right. Don't forget, next hour, you have another chance at money. The keyword will be revealed. And today and tomorrow are the last days for this contest for a while. It's the KFI Cash Refill Contest with $1,000 up for grabs. Astra Lincoln, on her own webpage, is an award-winning essayist based in Portland, Oregon, by way of Payahuananadu. In parentheses, Owens Valley, California. So I guess she's using the original Native American name maybe for the area?
Yeah, I don't know.
Her work focuses on the intersections of people, power, and place.
Whatever that means.
She writes about disability, climate change, disaster management. So the reason we're talking about her is because she has written one of the all-time fantastic essays for the El Segundo Times, and it is for Valentine's Day. There's a big heart displayed at the top of the column, and it's titled, When Climate Change Looms, How Are You Supposed to Fall in Love?
Can we have some background music, please? Because this is very emotional, and you may weep. What we read are her actual words. We are not making this up. I asked a man to marry me once. Until I met him, I had never known the way that love could provide the magnetic pull of a bearing, like a pulse through the air. I felt the idea of him everywhere.
For 3 years, we'd been living in the eastern Sierra Nevada. I was as enchanted by our mountain home as I was by him, but it was a demanding affair.
Each summer, there were little losses. A camper left without realizing his fire's embers remained warm, and what was started for s'mores spread, igniting nearby brush. An acre burned. A mountain biker leaned too far to the right into a tight turn. Their pedal struck a rock and sparked. 100 acres burned. My favorite trail was buried in a landslide. I set out to climb a glacier, only to find that it had melted and was gone.
To love that landscape was to maintain a desperate intimacy with its disappearance. I couldn't bear it. I wanted us to run away.
From atop the high ridge, we walked one evening. I stretched out my finger and traced along the horizon, a part of the valley most likely to be destroyed when the inevitable wildfire came. Don't you think there are better places to live through this? I asked him, touching my nose to his nose. It would be hard for him to leave our tiny town. He was an immigrant. His status was tied to his work. We could get married, I offered, kicking up snow. Little crystals sprayed around his knees. At home later, we finished two bottles of Gruner Veltliner. Maps unfolded around us, pointing out new places we could go.
Oh, but by the next morning, he had changed his mind. He asked me to leave without him. To leave him. I fled for the coast. Better to see the sea rise on a land I hadn't learned to love yet, I figured.
All breakups
are hard, but they're worse if you're stupid. My mistake that was instead of indulging in a series of sloppy rebounds to recalibrate my aching heart, I threw myself headlong into a new career writing about global warming. I joined a research collective. I became a journalist.
By now, I've heard so many well-articulated versions of what the landscape might soon look like. I can nearly see their flickering edges hovering over above the world that remains, like a holograph on the brink of being realized. I run through the pines knowing that some forest scientists expect California's mountains will soon be deforested from the joint forces of fire, drought, and invasive pests. I hear the threatened sparrows chorus in the yard and wonder how long their song will last, knowing that if all the currently endangered mammals were to go extinct, it would take 23 million years for evolution to replenish them.
Ah, the horrors! An increasing body of research affirms the worry that human-caused global warming may rob us of a future, or one that is pleasant and survivable for most species anyway. Depending on who you ask, we have somewhere between 6 and 10 years left until the planet's atmosphere will cross an atmospheric tipping point beyond which there is no return. Some argue it's a line we've already crossed.
It does not spark joy. The climate crisis takes so much from us. Cool summer nights and the ability to chit-chat with Trader Joe's cashiers about the weather without wanting to suddenly weep.
That was one of my favorite parts.
Oh, yeah, I gotta say that again. The ability to chit-chat with Trader Joe's cashiers about the weather without wanting to suddenly weep.
Imagine you're shooting the crap with somebody and like people do about the weather. It's a pretty nice sunny day today.
Not for long.
They'll be gone.
But there's also a bigger, harder to name thing. What do we do if our love cannot withstand these ever worsening storms that disrupt our dreams and uproot our lives?
Wow. Today, 3/4 of Americans experience some degree of anxiety about climate change. Really? For people under 25, it's markedly worse. I wonder how many of them will get to revel in youth's capaciousness like I did. For a few good years in my 20s, I knew climate change was coming, but I had not yet come to believe it would change everything about my life. The hopes I held then now feel like a 20th-century relic. Angular light pouring through the narrow alleyways of European cities. Market baskets heavy with exotic imported fruits.
What?
Their juices staining my chin.
Ew.
Endless travel, but unencumbered by guilt over over airline emissions or fear about how to build emergency plans into a holiday. This is real, folks. We're not making this up.
I no longer expect a future full of ease, whimsy, or fruit plucked from the branch. Again with the fruit. A threshold has been crossed. I'm not sure when. Was it when my last love ended? Or at some moment in the intervening years when I have failed to find another?
It's because you're crazy, lady. Oh, I hope we get to it. I want to move ahead here because
okay.
I love this. It's my favorite paragraph.
Okay.
Recently, I fell into bed with a stranger. In the moments after, tangled up in each other, we pecked away at the awkward small talk of people who still didn't know each other's names. When he asked me what I was thinking about, I monologued for 10 uninterrupted minutes about the agronomic insecurities that will mean one day, soon, we will have no ripe tomatoes lining our shelves. Imagine going home with a woman
oh, no.
And you're asking her, what's on your mind? No ripe tomatoes.
I'm climbing out the bedroom window. Or I'm going in the closet and
that's what happened. You're right. Have no ripe tomatoes lying shelves midwinter, and how I therefore always bulk buy heirlooms I can't afford. I left soon after, and I never saw him again.
Oh, that must have been the worst pickup in history for the guy. Huh?
Like everyone else, I'm just searching for somewhere stable to leap and then land. In this, I'm no different than any more conventional climate-naive friends. Love has always stood in contrast to life's existential threats. This woman must be a lot of fun to hang out with. What's on your mind? Oh, tomatoes.
I won't be able to buy tomatoes anymore.
I can't stain my chin.
Connection is a tiny revolt against everything we are up against. This is true even of trysts and other temporary flirtations. A love affair, Catherine Davis wrote in her memoir, Aurelia, confers motion, ferrying you through time. Within the high of a good one, I can feel the gasping propulsion towards something sweet in each of my cells. What the hell?
This one is also classic. On one of the final egg yolk afternoons of last fall. Never heard anybody describe an afternoon as an egg yolk.
Egg yolk afternoon.
I asked my new crush if they thought climate change was impacting their dating. That's not a question you get every day. I asked it as coyly as I imagine another person might casually mention the name of the child that they one day hope to have, which is to say, with no subtlety whatsoever. They paused, rustling maple leaves at a crisp brown from drought rather than turning yellow. I see she stuck another one in there. No, not more than it's changed every other one of my relationships.
My solar plexus warmed in the familiar way then. As though here, too, might be an opening for me to see my way to a life populated with more desire than dread. There are other people, lots of them, still trying to find portals that will carry us to futures in which we survive. Like them, I am still looking. I still want to take that leap.
Wow,
Well, you know, at least you know if you run into this lady at a bar or restaurant, her name is Astra Lincoln. She may be pretty. She may be very articulate. She may be very interesting.
There is a picture of her on the website.
Run for your life.
And apparently her award that she won was for something she did on mountaineering, some essay she wrote. So it's not like she's...
Oh, my goodness.
Fantastic. How did they find her?
Eric, how long would you last in bed with this girl?
If she brought up tomatoes in bed, I'm getting out. Like, I'm just upset that he took her home to his place and he had to kick her out. Well, I guess that's actually not a bad thing.
Said she left, but she never heard from him again.
Yeah, but if he ended up at her place, imagine getting stuck there.
I mean, she's got to be a story. Anyone who's dated her must be talking about this woman for a long time.
But of course, the LA Times publishes this.
Oh, yeah, very serious Valentine's Day stuff.
Holy jeez.
Thanks for letting us enjoy the holiday. All right, John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Chick-fil-A is going to test a plant-based sandwich with cauliflower. Oh, don't do it. I love Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
Come on.
These test sandwiches usually die.
Not that high on my hierarchy of vegetables is the cauliflower. So.
And that's there with that's down there with carrots.
This news just came in the last hour or so. Of course, old Joe, a couple hours ago, spoke to the nation about these objects that were shot out of the sky last weekend. One over Canada, a couple of over Alaska, one over Michigan, actually, in Yukon, the Huron. So, we now understand, thanks to an outfit called AviationWeek.com, that it's very possible that one of the objects we shot out of the sky, and Biden wanted to make it clear today they're not part of a Chinese surveillance program, it may have been a $12 balloon.
Yeah, there's a balloon club called the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade. And they enjoy ballooning and ham radio.
They're a hobbyist club.
Mm-hmm. And... They built apparently was something called a Pico balloon, which you can buy for $12 to $180 each, depending on the type.
And reported its last position on February 10th at 38,910 feet off the west coast of Alaska. So that gives you an idea. It seems to have been in the region.
Right. And the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has this computer model. I guess you could send up a balloon and then use the NOAA software and track where the balloon is likely to go. And it was projected that it would be floating high over the Yukon Territory in Canada on February 11th. That is the same day that we spent $400,000 on a missile to shoot down.
A $12 balloon.
Well,
we're all safer for it.
Because I was wondering while Biden was babbling today is, by now, people should know if a balloon is missing from their company or their research outfit, right?
I said this the other day. I'll bet you it's some type of geek who enjoys floating these things and collecting data. There is a community of Pico ballooning enthusiasts. Did you know that, John? Pico ballooning.
Wouldn't you love
to combines ham radio and high-altitude ballooning into a single, affordable hobby.
I'm sure they're a lot of fun.
The explanation we got from one of the Pico balloon enthusiasts, launching high-altitude circumnavigational Pico balloons has emerged only within the past decade. It is possible to calculate the amount of helium gas necessary to make a common latex balloon neutrally buoyant at altitudes above 43,000 feet. The balloons carry an 11-gram tracker on a tether, along with these antennas to update their positions to ham radio receivers around the world. This is very exciting, isn't it? I got it. I tracked it. At any given moment, several dozen such balloons are aloft, with some circling the globe several times before they malfunction or fail.
These are probably retired guys. They got nothing to do, so they stand out in a field with their ham.
Again, it reminds me of the guy on the beach with the metal detector.
Yeah. No,
the big headphones on.
I've seen
Sir, get a life.
And I've seen him in a park. They're the guys who like to fly drones.
Yes, right. They're still children, but they're little flying airplanes.
And they have nothing to do, and they can't deal with their wife anymore. They don't have a job. So, yeah, you go back to being 8 years old again. You're flying a balloon. You're flying a drone. One guy says he uses a foil balloon sold by a Japanese company known as Yokohama. $12.
Yeah, because the thing is, some use Mylar party balloons. But the round-shaped Mylar balloons often can't get higher than 20 to 30,000 feet. So that's where the thing that John mentioned. Apparently, some Japanese company called Yokohama will sell this foil balloon for $12. And apparently, the material has proven to be resilient for long periods at high altitudes. Mm-hmm. So that's why some of the Pico balloon enthusiasts use this particular type of balloon to send it up there with its little equipment on it.
Let's just review. Joe Biden let a Chinese balloon that was 200 feet high with a payload of spy equipment the size of three school buses flow all the way from Alaska to South Carolina before shooting it down. However, he decides to shoot down immediately a $12 balloon run by a ham radio group.
Pico balloons weigh less than 6 pounds and are therefore exempt from most FAA airspace restrictions. So that's another aspect of this. Three countries, North Korea, Yemen, and the UK, restrict transmissions from balloons in their airspace.
$400,000 missile.
$12 balloon.
Yeah.
What's the payoff there? We're safer. He said an abundance of caution.
Boy, that is an abundance.
Well, remember they said they weren't sure what they had after they shot it. I thought, though, this doesn't sound very big, these Pico balloons.
No.
I forget what they said the size of the objects that were shot down over Alaska and
I don't know, Lake Huron were. But you know, how many balloons could there be floating over the Yukon at that moment? And they're the only ones saying, hey, we're missing a balloon.
I feel bad for the hobbyists. They lost their $12 balloon and its little tracking payload.
If I was Putin, now's the time.
Is that right?
Yeah, now's the time.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You can have Alaska in about 5 minutes. We'll just be watching. Deborah Mark is off today. Jason Middleton live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back.
Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give love and logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.